Our year verse has already been referenced this morning, for Ezra had set his heart to study the law of the Lord, God's word, and to practice it, and to teach his statutes and ordinances in Israel. As Eric said, Ezra himself understood the centrality of God's word, and thus the direction of our worship. The centrality of God's word, central to what? To all of life. This morning, my message is an extension and, with the Lord's help, an application of this verse, the centrality of the Word of God. About 40 years ago, Barb and I began to experience the blessing of children. And as I held that very first child and surveyed those tiny little fingernails and eyelashes, I'm preaching to the choir, right? Watch that little chest going up and down, felt that little heart beating, something came over me. It was the realization that there was a soul in there, a soul that would live forever somewhere. It was extremely sobering. I can tell by many of your faces you've encountered the same series of realizations. And as I began to contemplate this little life in that great big eternity, I began to think about what would eternity be like if it were minus this little one, if I were in that eternity and she wasn't. The thought made me shudder, and it still does. It was unbearable. And so I began to pray. I began to implore the Lord as earnestly as I knew how to do for the salvation of that little child. I desperately wanted this little one to put her trust in Christ, so that her sins could be forgiven, so that she could receive eternal life. And I began to pray, and I prayed often to that end. And of course, as each additional child came along, the scope of my prayers widened to include them. And our four children have now given us 13 grands, and the 14th is due in July. And so now I am desperate. Do you sense the desperation? I know you feel it too. I am desperate to see these 14 souls come to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Something happened after the birth of that first child. I began to see things in God's Word that perhaps I had seen before, but now they spoke directly to this desperation of my heart that these little ones come to saving faith in Jesus Christ. Statements like this one: "It is not the will of your Father," Jesus said this, "it is not the will of your Father who is in heaven that one of these little ones perish." Wow, I resonated with that like I never had before. The little child I'm holding, it's not your will that this little one perish. I can join you in that, Heavenly Father. Jesus said those words. Jesus tells me that the Father feels the same way I feel about these little ones. In fact, he feels it even more keenly than I. So much so that he sent his son, Jesus. He sent his son, Jesus, to die for my little sons, daughters. And so here's where we're going this morning. God has shown us in His Word, you see, we're headed to His Word. God has shown us in His Word how we can pray with breadth and with depth and with substance. Those are key words. Breadth and depth and substance. For Him to do a saving work in these little lives. And not just those little lives of my pictures there, but in all the lives God has placed in our lives. Brothers, sisters, nieces, nephews, uncles, aunts, all kinds of relatives, neighbors, co-workers. We learn in the Bible that God actually invites us to partner with Him for bringing men and women to salvation through Jesus Christ. Now let's be clear, God does the saving, but He invites us, can you fathom this? To partner with Him for an eternity of someone else, and it might be your son, your daughter, your grandchild. And one of the ways we partner with Him in that is through prayer. But He doesn't just say pray. He gives us His Word. He gives us His Word as the fodder for our prayers. And I want to share with you this morning some of the substance that God gives us in His Word for the kind of praying that will partner with Him for salvation, for the little ones, the big ones, the distant ones, the estranged ones, the co-workers, the neighbors. We're going to only scratch the surface, but substance that God gives us in His Word for that depth and breadth of praying, partnering with God for the expansion of His kingdom and the inclusion of those people that are dear and near to your heart. Let's pray together, shall we? Lord, we are touching on things that I actually am a little fearful for several reasons to be speaking about. One of the reasons I'm fearful about is whenever I talk about prayer, it seems like a great deal of opposition comes against me in my prayer life. So I humble myself before you and say in front of these, I have nothing but what you have given me. And I do not laud this or exalt anything that you have shown me for any reason other than to share with these some of the best cookies you ever gave me and put them on the shelf where I could reach them. And there's nothing in me except what you've given to me. And secondly, this whole matter of prayer that has to do with people's eternity touches on depths of your nature and your character, and the understanding of that in my mind is terribly deficient. I don't have an adequate grasp of all that you have revealed to us in your word, and there's much that you have not revealed to us in your word. So I am hesitant to step out on this limb for that reason as well. But you have put a burning in my heart for this, these many, many years, and I desperately want to share this with my brothers and sisters, that they could have the benefit you have shown me. And so with that, Lord, humbling myself, I invite you to do all the work of teaching this morning. Holy Spirit, it's your word we're talking about. It's you, Father. It's you, Lord Jesus. You have the day. And if you can see fit to use me, that'll be just fine. And if not, that's fine too. I pray this so that Jesus, the Word of God, the very Word of God, will be famous this morning, more famous in our hearts and lives. Amen. I suppose it was, I can't really put a time frame. I've been wrestling with, when did this all begin? I know it began when I was holding those little ones in my hands. And somewhere along the way, and you have a sheet with you, right? That kind of lavender sheet. Somewhere along the way, I came on this first text. What I've done here is, well, let's talk about the title. God's invitation to plead the mercy of God with the Word of God, by means of the Word of God. God has given us countless places in the Scriptures, thank you, Eric, whereby He invites us to plead according to His character and His nature, to one aspect of which is His mercy, to plead the mercy of God by means of the Word of God for the salvation of God to come to those you and I are deeply invested in. That's a mouthful, but I hope you get caught it. And somewhere along that line, I came to this first text. We find it first in the Ten Commandments, but it shows up in numerous places. I, the Lord, your God, am a jealous God. Sounds like we're headed in the wrong direction. Visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children. I definitely got the wrong verse, right? Visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children to the third and the fourth generation of those who hate me. Thankfully, it keeps going, but showing steadfast love to the thousandth generation of those who love me and keep my commandments. It is both terrifying and exhilarating to read these words. And the key piece has to do, God is going to visit Himself on generations that follow after me based on whether I hate Him or whether I love Him. And if I love Him, He limits His extension of His loving kindness to the 1,001st generation. 1,000 generations will benefit if I love the Lord and keep His commandments. The bad news is if I don't, if I hate Him, it's really bad on my children. I'm not going to preach on that verse, but we should sometime. Do you see the invitation to plead the mercy of God in that text? I wrote out one way, I wrote out a prayer based on that, and that's in the non-italicized immediately following. Lord, I plead the best possible blessing. You said you'd bless up to 1,000 generations. I plead the best possible blessing of your steadfast love. It's forgiveness of sins and eternal life for this little one I'm holding, or for this little one who's an ocean away from me and I can't hold. I still plead your best possible blessing for this little one. I plead on the basis of what you promised. I didn't think this up. You promised it, Lord, that you would show your steadfast love to the 1,000th generation of those who love you and keep your commandments. And Lord, you know that I love you. And you know I strive to keep your commandments. You hear me praying this way to the Lord? I didn't say I was perfect. I said I messed up. But you know which way my weather vane is pointing, Lord. It's pointing to you. And on the basis of that, I plead not just blessing on my progeny. I plead your best possible blessing, salvation. Now, it just so happens that my son Jonathan loves the Lord and follows the Lord. It doesn't just so happen, by the way. And so he can pray, and I can pray on his eldest, Blake, Lord, we're stacking the blessings. Do you see it? 1,000 generations from Paul includes Blake. 1,000 generations from Jonathan includes Blake. Oh, but wait a minute. Here's my dad. 1,000 generations from him. Oh, but what about his dad, Curtis? He loved you, Lord. He kept your commandments. Do you see where that goes? Do you see how God has compounded blessings for those who love? Oh, but what about me? I'm the first in my generation. Yes, you are. You're the first of your generations. You get to start the whole thing running. Do you see how you can't lose with God if you love him and keep his commandments? How about the next one? This one's also in Deuteronomy. The Lord talking through Moses to the children of Israel. And the Lord your God will circumcise, not your bodies, that was just a picture. He's going to circumcise your heart. Oh, do you see those next beautiful words that are underlined? And the heart of your offspring. Oh, I can hang on to that, Lord. So that you will love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, and that you may live. Oh, man. Father, on the basis of this promise, I ask that you will do this in the heart of my offspring. Cause her to love you with all his heart, with all her heart and soul, so that he or she may live. Do you see how God gave you substance to pray for that one that he's put in your life? Do you see how, if you're like me, you decide you need to pray, and you sit down and you begin to pray, and it starts something like this. Lord, I'm praying for my daughter, and I ask you to bless her, and I ask you to remember her, and I ask you to be with her, and I ask you to undertake for her. Find all my verbs here, let's see. And remember her. And about that far into it, I run out of gas. Do you run out of gas praying? But when I let the scriptures guide me, especially when I lay hold of a text that speaks to what's on my heart, I can say, oh Lord, and the heart of your offspring, will you change the heart of my daughter? You remember how she spoke to her mother earlier today? She needs a change of heart. I need you to change her heart, Lord. She's my offspring, and it says that you'll change my heart, circumcise my heart, and the heart of my offspring. She's my offspring. She needs a change of heart. Would you do it? I'm bringing your word back to you. And while we're on that, we don't demand these things of God. We don't force him. We don't manipulate him. He's the one who gave this to us. We're just reminding him of what he said. So let's make sure we're keeping the humble position and attitude toward God, of the God of the universe, the God of the hearts. But he invites us to come to him with his word. He laid it out. He's the one who preserved it and gave it to us, and pray like that. Let's move to the next. This is when Samuel had just anointed Saul to be king. And then it tells us, as Saul turned to leave Samuel, God changed Saul's heart. And then he also said, Samuel had also said, when this happens, you'll be changed into a different person. Do you see the invitation there in that narrative? It's just a narrative. It's just a story. No, it's not. It's God's word to you and to me, inviting us to pray on a basis like this. How might we pray? Father, as you changed Saul's heart, change the heart of this one. You saw that outburst of anger. You see my wayward son. You see my daughter who hasn't spoken to me in years. You know what I feel. Would you change the heart? I can discipline. I can write letters. I can do this. But I can't change her. That's your domain. And I need you to change that one's heart. Do you see that invitation? God has given it to us to appeal to him on that basis. How about the Lord's Prayer? He tucked a beautiful one in there. You know the prayer, and it has that line, deliver us from the evil one, or deliver us from evil. Here's how we might craft a prayer based on that. Lord, these are your words. You taught us to pray this way, and I am adapting yourself to my son or daughter or grandson. Here's how I wrote it on one particular birthday of one of our grandkids. Today, Lord, this is from my journal. Today, Lord, I celebrate Catherine Marie Cochran and the 3 years you've given her. There's something special between us, and I rejoice over that. Oh, Father, as I have asked many times for each grand, please bring Catherine soon to a saving knowledge of your son. Please reveal him to her unto her redemption. And not just redemption, but as with Peter. Remember, the Lord revealed himself to Peter, and Peter gave all for Christ. Had a few bumps, but before it was over with, Peter was absolutely wholeheartedly devoted. And so I pray that you'll not just give her redemption, but as with Peter, fully devoted followership. What's the next one? Everyone, it comes from John 6:37, everyone whom the Father gives me will come to me. There's not a might in there, is there? There's not a maybe. Everyone whom the Father gives me, said Jesus, will come to me. And the one who comes to me, I will never send away. Here's how the Lord prompted me to make that into a prayer. I'm praising you, Father, for Blake Abigail Cochran. Oh, Father, my greatest desire is that she be included in this promise, that she be one whom you have given your son. Please give her to your son. Because I know it says right here, whoever you give to the son will come to him. It's not an if, it's a will. So please give her to your son so that she will come to him. Now here's what I was alluding to earlier. We're touching on the things that we see through a glass quite darkly, don't we? I thought that he chose them before the foundation of the earth. Therefore, that's already been done. Wait a minute. You see how even our good theology, our accurate theology, can throttle our praying? Well, therefore, I can't pray that way. No. God knows all of those things. He gave us the whole sense of what's going on, but he didn't resolve all these things for us. We allow him to resolve them in his way, in his time, and with his wisdom and sovereign control. But he invites us, so that's what I'm doing. I'm praying, Lord, I pray that she be included in this promise as one you have given your son. Perfect tense. Have given your son. Yeah, there's some theological complexity there, isn't there? I'm praying it anyway. And you come with me. What's the next one? And if I, John 12:32, Jesus speaking, if I am lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men to myself. I'm praying to you, Lord, today for my boys who have come to see you lifted up. Thank you. Now then, please continue to draw them irresistibly so to you. Give them an insatiable thirst for you. Make every lesser thing that would captivate them be clearly inferior. Draw them to deep devotion to your Son. Keep showing them your Son lifted up. Do you see the invitation to pray? You can almost find these anywhere in God's Word. That's the next one. 2 Corinthians 4:6. For God, who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of God's glory displayed in the face of Christ. That's a lot of words. God said, "Let light shine out of darkness." And then he made his light shine. He took that action, made his light, there's some causation going on, made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of God's glory displayed in the face of Christ. God made his light shine so that I'd see the glory of God in the face of Christ. You seeing where this is going? You see the invitation? Lord, please make your light shine in these little ones' hearts unto the not, so that they get the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. Cause your light to shine so brightly in each heart that each one will personally know your glory through a saving relationship with Jesus Christ. Do you see? I ran out of gas with my bless them and keep them and remember them and help them prayers an hour ago. But we're just getting started with God's Word, and this will give you substance, breadth, and depth in your praying for the people God has placed you in their lives. Didn't put me in the people. He put you in those people's lives, and he has given you the equipment by which. What's the next one? Ephesians. And you were dead in your trespasses and sins. You know this passage. You were dead in your trespasses and sins. But God, being rich in mercy, made you alive together with him. By grace you've been saved. You see how I referenced 20 whole verses? You can just live in that passage for a long, long time. Here's what I did with that. And you'll see that I referenced there. Lord, apart from your saving work, these dear ones of mine are dead in trespasses and sins. They're sons of disobedience. They're children of wrath. This is bad news, and I recognize it. Oh, Father, such a terrifying realization. Please. You see, most of my grandkids are, you know, here. As I understand the scriptures, they are still in this condition. Please, therefore, Lord, be rich in mercy toward them because of your great love with which you have loved us. I didn't think that up. It's right there in verse 4. And make them alive. Make them alive together with Christ. By grace, please do this for them. Raise them up with him and seat them with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Show them and me the surpassing riches of your grace and kindness in Christ Jesus. Oh, Father, please bring about in them the truth of these words in the perfect tense, by grace, having been saved. For this salvation, this gift, I pray, it'll be a gift to them and to me. And then by your continuing grace, let them walk in the good works which you have prepared beforehand. Verse 10. We could be here all day on just that passage, couldn't we? What's the next one? It comes to us from Colossians. Epaphras, always laboring earnestly for you. He's writing to the Colossians. Paul's writing about Epaphras, who always labors earnestly for the Colossians in his prayers, asking God to make you strong and perfect fully confident that you are following the whole will of God. I would like to ask you to take the next few moments. I gave you a little space to write your own prayer from that passage in Colossians. And then the next one, the same. Blessed be, this is from 1 Peter. This one's got miles of territory. Let's read it. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy has caused us to be born again. Do you see that causation? To a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to obtain an inheritance, that purpose, which is imperishable and undefiled, won't fade away, reserved in heaven for you, or protected by the power of God through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. Would you take for just a moment your own privacy and craft a prayer based on something in one or both of those? Just give you a few minutes to do that. Okay, I'm gonna ask if anybody would like to share. Why am I doing that? Not to put you on the spot, but to show this isn't rocket science. This is stuff, remember I prayed earlier, the best cookies are put down on the bottom shelf for all of us normal people. Would anybody like to share what the Lord prompted you to pray on the basis of one of those texts? I'll bring the microphone to you. I'm not going to voluntold you. I'm just going to ask if anybody would like to do that. Okay, Christy?
I can take great heart in 2 Peter 3:9, where he says he's not willing that any perish, but all come to repentance. And in Matthew, it says Jesus saw the crowds and had compassion because they were harassed and helpless like a shepherd.
Beautiful. How did you make that a prayer? Can you pray for your grandson Matthew according to one of those texts?
Father, we thank you for your great love towards us, each and every one of us. And I pray that you would work in the hearts of my grandchildren, of Matthew, who you have already done marvelous work, and of little Sawyer, who knows little if anything of you. You're not willing that they should perish. Draw them to yourself, Lord. Give us the compassion of the heart, the urgency to share the good news with these precious ones.
Amen. Thank you. Christy is one of my mentors in praying the scriptures. Thank you for that. Anybody else? Okay, Hank?
Mine's a little different. I can say the blame to that.
Mine's a little different, of course.
That's okay.
The Lord's been poking and prodding me for a while to continue on steadfast and forthrightness. So even using the Colossians 4:12, which would be, Lord, help me to be laboring earnestly for my kids. In my prayers, asking God to make them strong and perfect, fully confident that they are following the whole will of God. So it's really in that fashion.
That's fine. Don't you see what God gave us there? Anybody else? I'm not going to belabor it. All right. Thank you, Christy and Hank. So now, let's bring this in for a landing. Here is Hosanna. And here's my prayer for her on one instance. Lord, let her come to a knowledge of her sin and a need of a Savior. Where did I get that prayer from? John 16 says, the Spirit of God will convince of sin and righteousness and judgment. So Lord, I pray that she would come to a knowledge of her sin and her need of a Savior. Father, grant her repentance. Grant repentance. That part comes from God, apparently. So would you grant it, Lord? And there's a reference, there's a couple of texts on that. Draw her to yourself. We already talked about that one. Let the scriptures awaken in her faith in Christ. From childhood, Timothy, Paul wrote, you have been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. So Lord, let the scriptures awaken in her faith in Christ. Put her in the hearing of the word of God through her parents, through church, through school. Draw her with gentle cords, with bands of love. That's from Hosea, an adaptation from Hosea. Lord, you do the drawing. You're such a loving God. Draw her so powerfully that she can't possibly say no to you. By your love, woo her to a life of devotion to you. We love him because he first loved us. So Lord, let your love be so powerful that she can't do anything but respond to you in love. Now, we don't want to fool ourselves. Again, we do not compel God. We do not get the upper hand on God. We come to him in all humility, on our faces, on our knees. We are just reminding him of what he said. And we are aligning our heart with his and saying, Lord, would you do this? I wouldn't have thought that I could ask you for multiple generations, but you put it in your word. So on the basis of that, I'm asking you. I wouldn't have known that you draw people to yourself if you're exalted, Lord Jesus, but you told me that. So that's why I'm praying that way. Do you see? We do not compel him, we plead. Sometimes, I'm going to go with it, leave it there. But there's more. There are many forces in play. Hosanna has a will of her own. You wouldn't think so looking at those beautiful pictures, but she does, just like you and I do. And that will does not want, it has never wanted to submit itself to a Father in heaven. So that's a complexity. There's another one. We have a ruinous enemy, a very strong, deadly enemy. That's in play. When you and I pray like we've been talking about, and we lift scriptures up like this to God, we're going up against strongholds. But that's one more reason why we need the Word of God. There's an enemy. And next, we're fallen. That one I'm praying for, the one you're praying for, they're fallen. They have a nature that is predisposed to sin. It's an uphill battle on the best day. So don't go in there thinking A plus B equals C. You go in there with humility. You go in there for the long haul. Jesus said, men ought always to pray and not lose heart. Today you're saying, I've been praying for 22 years. Yeah, keep at it. Because the Lord has given you the privilege of that chapter not yet having come to a close on a bad note. So keep praying. But remember, it is not the will of God that any one of these little ones should perish. What you and I don't want to do is stand before him and he says, do you remember that verse I gave you? You have not because you ask not. And we say, oh, I didn't really ask much, did I, Lord? There's a story of Napoleon, conqueror. Remember the Napoleon the Conqueror? And he conquered an island, and he had all his top brass with him on that island, and they all were gathering around celebrating this victory. And a lowly colonel walks up to him and says, sir, yes, sir, may I have this island to rule for you? And all the generals were like, who let this guy in? And Napoleon says, yes, you may. And the generals were astonished, and they said to him, why did you let that lonely colonel have such a jewel of your conquering escapade, or whatever the right word is there? And he said these words, I was honored by the greatness of his request. I was honored by the greatness of his request. If a Napoleon can say that, how much more the Lord of heaven is honored when we say, with due humility and reverence, but we say, Lord, the greatness of my request is founded right here that you gave me, and I ask you to do a work. And you don't have to do it my way, but if I were to ask you, I would see it this way, yet not my will but thine, according to my Savior. I pray that too. And I humbly ask, and I'm going to keep asking, because you told me to. He is honored by the greatness of our request when it comes to him like that. Let's pray, shall we? Lord Jesus, we are so totally bankrupt, it's not even funny. The only thing we have in our bank is what you earned for us. You went to the cross. You won for us those victories. Because of you, all the promises of God in Christ are yes. Because of you, we have standing. Because of you, we're saved. Because of you, we can plead for these who you've put in our lives. Because of you. Your blood, your righteousness, your victory, not ours. Our continual failing is ever before us, but it is because of you that we have the boldness to ask. It is because you are standing, making the truest intercession for us. Even now, you stand daily to intercede for the saints. We join you in that, Lord Jesus. We join you in seeking your exaltation. We join you in seeking these that we know and love to come to follow you and love you and be devoted to you and advance your kingdom. It's really selfish love. We don't want to see those we love in an eternity, a Christless eternity. But we try to go beyond that and we say, Lord, make them be devoted lovers of you, building your kingdom, exalting you, glorifying your name, not just in this world, but in the eternity yet to come. So now, Lord, we turn our attention to this, your body, and this, your blood. What a great cost it was for you to bring to us an eternal hope, eternal life, forgiveness, cleansing. What a great thing you did to make it possible for us to plead the blood for ourselves and for those we love. We take now this bread with deepest gratitude, this cup with we're just actually short of words. We do love you. And we intend to keep loving you. And we intend to keep loving those we love right into your arms. Would you apply this bread and this cup, not just to our hearts, but to those that we're thinking about right this moment. In a saving way, we ask it. Amen.